Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. We talk so much about funding, investment, venture capital, all kinds of stuff. What we don't talk a lot about is crowdfunding. And crowdfunding is a really interesting way for, in my opinion, specific types of companies to raise money, get moving, scale. And for some companies, it's not a great fit. We're going to talk all about that today. And before we get too far into that, I want to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Our Crowd. Do you wish you were in on some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020? Our Crowd's investors were. And now you can join them in what's next. With Our Crowd, accredited investors have early access to invest directly, easily, and importantly, early. Our Crowd investors have benefited from Our Crowd companies IPOing like Beyond Meat, or being bought by companies like Intel, Nike, Microsoft, and Oracle. Go to ourcrowd.com/hustle. There's a link in the show notes. People, go click that link and make sure you have that /hustle so we can keep our hustle going. With me today, I've got an expert on crowdfunding, scaling businesses, a whole lot of stuff. I've got Graham Ripple, who's the owner of Ripple Consulting. Graham, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. And, you know, I'd like to know a little, I believe our listeners would too, a little bit more about your backstory. So lay it on us.
Yeah, I've been an entrepreneur for about 12 years. Started my first company in the late 20s. I had a background in engineering and business. And so I founded three companies. Most recently, for the last 4.5 years, I was with it's a Kansas City company called Oyo Fitness. And that's really where I've gotten a lot of my crowdfunding experience from. I was hired by them to do a product launch on crowdfunding, and we can chat more about that. I did a second product launch with them. And then I stayed on as their COO. I most recently actually just transitioned out of that role, and I'm now the president of a new startup called Link by Lou, which is a permanent jewelry company. And I'm coming on board to help prop up the business side of it, and then scale a team of sales reps.
Going back to Oyo, and I just remember seeing news and headlines about that. They had a wildly successful crowdfunding campaign, as I recall. I mean, I'm like millions, right?
Yeah, millions. 4.1 million in something like 50 days. It was in... I believe it was April into June of 2020. It at the time was the 35th highest funded Kickstarter out of 480,000. It put us in the top like 0.1%. It was wild.
And what kind of product was that?
Yeah, so Oyo Fitness sells at home portable gyms, and so this was a second generation product called the Oyo Nova Gym. So it is it's a product that it's a handheld portable gym. It weighs under 3 pounds. It puts out 40 pounds of resistance using patented Spiroflex technology that OYO's CEO, Paul Francis, developed.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember seeing that and doing it amidst a pandemic. You know, that's been a really hot segment. If your product, and you see some of these companies rush some things out, I think, who was it, Peloton just got to recall all their treadmills or something. So, yeah. And, for those that are regular listeners, I actually have some familiarity with the fitness equipment industry because I invested in fitness delivery experts, and it was a company that just delivers fitness equipment. So needless to say, business was up last year. Quite a bit. As a matter of fact, people were scalping gym equipment on Craigslist. It was almost like it was the plywood of 2020, like 2021. It's plywood and lumber and maybe used cars. Since when are used cars something you should have held on to for dear life, much like cryptocurrency or something? But yeah, so very interesting things and interesting market dynamics. Sometimes the timing can be good for stuff and sometimes it isn't, but let's start simple, man. What do you like most about crowdfunding?
Crowdfunding to me presents such an opportunity to get an MVP product in front of customers. And it has to be baked enough that you can actually deliver on it. You know what I mean? MVP might be too early stage, but just to get in front of potential customers and then see how they respond, right? And then ideally, if it works, then you're in a situation where they are actually funding the tooling or funding the first run of production or any of those kind of the financial aspects of it.
So I'm gonna represent the fail and not fail category because I've been on both sides of it. When we said at the beginning of the show, or at least I did, that certain types of products do well, and I really want to put the quotes around products, like tangible physical things that people hold. And I say representing a failed crowdfunding. So, man, this was probably 6 or 7 years ago when we were launching Gigabook.com. We did a subscription offering on, I think it was Indiegogo or one of those things. And honestly, it didn't really go that well. I mean, we got some, but it was pretty weak overall. And it wasn't because we didn't try. I felt like we had a really good presentation and everything, but quickly learned that crowdfunding is best for tangible things, meaning things you can hold in your hand. And then on the flip side of that, myself, Full Scale have made a pretty significant investment in Mixtape the Game. And that is something that had a really, really successful Kickstarter campaign. And Joel Johnson, who's the creator of that, that's how he launched the product. And we've taken that since then, have sold 100,000 units worldwide, launched an app that integrates with Spotify and Apple Music. So good on one side and bad on another. So now I mentioned using Indiegogo and there's Kickstarter and other stuff. And I would imagine the world of crowdfunding campaigns and platforms and stuff like that has probably expanded since I've given too much into it. But I mean, what are the most popular platforms now and what have you found success with?
Yeah, well, Matt, there's a lot there. I resonate with everything that you said about winners and losers. I'm like, oh, that's spot on. So to start backwards and move forward, the market leaders I think are still Kickstarter, Indiegogo. What I've always done with the campaigns that I'm managing is Kickstarter is a winners take all model, and it's all or nothing model, I should say. So you have to, it's a termed model. You know, you give a certain amount of time, you have a certain goal. If you don't raise that amount in that amount of time, you get nothing, right? Indiegogo, they do it two ways. One is termed like that. Another is wide open. So what I do is I normally do a termed Kickstarter campaign. And then as soon as that's done, I do an Indiegogo in-demand campaign. And then I use Indiegogo in-demand as my pre-sale platform. And so it allows you to have a really concerted time-sensitive sale on Kickstarter and then convert that over into something that is that's wide open, that's still discounted pricing and things like that, but you don't have goals on the Indiegogo side. So that's how I run my campaigns. I do know there are other platforms out there. There's lots of international platforms that are out there that's fascinating. But for the US market, I run those too.
Yeah, and that same crowdfunding model has spilled over to other forms of commerce. Like today's sponsor of our episode, Our Crowd, is essentially crowdfunding for startups, which is now possible. You know, 10 mm-hmm. years ago, that was, like we mentioned, launching Gigabook, we wouldn't have, there was just laws, regulations, all that wouldn't have allowed us to have been in a platform like Our Crowd. So yeah. I think it's pretty cool, the access to capital that entrepreneurs and just businesses in general have. So, okay, let's talk about a successful crowdfunding campaign. Like what, when you, cause you've done it. So yeah. When you sit down on day one, all right, so we got nothing. Here we have nothing for Product X, Graham. Yeah. Like, where do we start? Where do we start? What's the first thing we do?
Well, I mean, frankly, to your point, I mean, it really comes down to when someone asks me about crowdfunding, should I launch this product on crowdfunding? The very first thing that I'm looking at is market fit. I treat crowdfunding as its own market. I coach people to think of it as its own channel, as its own business strategy. And so I'm looking for products that are physical, like you said. I really like a sweet spot of on crowdfunding, something like $75 to $150. It allows it to be, you have enough of a price that is, that you can actually get some ad spend underneath it. If you do smaller products, it's difficult to actually get enough of an ad spend to be able to scale it. I'm then looking at, you know, who's the average crowdfunding backer, right? So we know these are early adopters. We know that Kickstarter is a little bit more heavily skewed male. It's about 70-30, if I'm remembering correctly. Indiegogo is a little bit better split, but it still skews male. It skews young. So I have lots of people who come to me with great products, but if it doesn't hit that list, then I'm like, my recommendation is not to do crowdfunding, right? In the same way that I wouldn't want you to launch another product in a bad channel that doesn't work for you. So that to me is the starting point, is this the right fit for crowdfunding? And that's kind of my rough list of doing it. And then from there, it's really looking at what is the company bringing to the table in terms of being able to then scale it. So there was a time in which crowdfunding was really organically built. You could launch a product on crowdfunding, you would allow the community to spread it, right? You could do lots of PR. I don't think we live in that world anymore. Kickstarter has algorithms. Indiegogo has algorithms. They want to put winners in front of their fans. That's how they make their money. But to get their attention, you're having to put in a lot of effort from both marketing as well as ad spend. I mean, just to scale it. And so again, once I realized product fit, I then am saying, what do you guys bring to the table in terms of existing clientele, in terms of startup, in terms of some startup capital for, and then you start pulling different levers based on what they have to try to scale it.
So, you know, so many different types of industry verticals have different ratios and percentages. And this industry wants to, X percent of revenue here, Y percent of revenue there. Like, is there a rule of thumb or any particular number that you should? And by the way, if you think you're going to launch or I hesitate to even use the word promote in the sentence. If you think you're not going to promote what you're trying to promote through some form of paid advertising, you're naive, people. Like Graham said, everything's got an algorithm. And look, Facebook doesn't show your posts to everyone as a business because they want you to pay. That's the way it goes. So give them a little money. But is there a percentage or a number that you should expect, or like what's a healthy number to be within?
Yeah. So on the advertising side, I actually see crazy efficiency with the advertising side of Kickstarter comparing a crowdfunding launch versus kind of like general market. And so I typically model a return on ad spend of 3.5 to 4 which means that for every dollar you put in, you get back $3.50, or you get back $4, right? So that's what I model before the campaign starts. The inverse way to do it is a percentage. So return on ad spend of 4 means that it's a 25% of your cost goes to advertising, right? So you can invert it that way if you want to use percentages. But so that's how I think of it with that. I mean, you have to keep in mind with crowdfunding, off the top, right? You've got 5% that's going to Kickstarter. They've got their processing fees. That's another 2.7% or something on average. I would recommend using a backer management software such as BackerKit. That's another, depending on what scale you use, that's another 1 to 3%, right? So you just have to be really conscious of the numbers. For me, a winning crowdfunding is one that is one that's break even and paying for either tooling or paying for not just the crowdfunding products, but then extra that you can then sell into the market. So I think that, potentially you're looking at a 10 to 15% profit margin prior to those expenses, but a lot of times people are coming in and they're using the funds to actually get going. And so I wouldn't, even with like a huge campaign like we ran, you've got lots of little bites that come out. And so really what you're about is a product introduction and to get that product into the market, whatever that means for you.
I think a lot of people are green when it comes to this and inexperienced. And, they look at things like, they're like, Amazon takes 30% of my money. I'm like, Amazon is your store, they're your warehouse, they're your fulfillment center, they're your delivery guy, they're your accountant. So actually you're getting a great deal, on some levels, but a lot of people are going to look at stuff and they're either thinking they're not going to promote it, or they're going to look at that and they go, oh my God, a third of my money's going. Hey, that's the cost of doing business. If you have another way to drive a lot of interest and everything. Now, here's the thing though, if you're smart with that, you can look at that as a longer term promotional expense, because how many articles did OYO get after that? I mean, was the earned, I would imagine that the earned PR on that was worth every penny that went into it.
100%. I mean, the number of international distributor inquiries that we had, right? Like, I mean, we're doing primary direct to consumer business in the States. And then internationally, like either we have a business decision, which is let's replicate the whole system in another country, right? And to your point, it's advertising. It is a localized website. It is localized customer service. It is a localized Amazon listing. Or we can get a distributor and have the distributor buy product from us wholesale, and then they do all that work, right? And so, I mean, to your point, both PR as well as international distributors, and we had so many people who reached out who were wanting to then work with us. I mean, it was phenomenal. Absolutely.
These are the situations where ROI and ROE are kind of incalculable. Like, and I've had people ask, like, even our own COO, he's like, I'm having a hard time figuring out the ROI and the ROE on the podcast. So I was like, dude, stop trying. Cause you're never going to come up with an accurate answer, because it finds its customers, it generates revenue. What's street cred worth, Graham? Like, because that's like the whole thing, like earned PR. You talk about all the press and all the and whatever, because you really can't calculate it. And, it's like people go to the full scale website. And I mean, I'm just guessing here, and they see, hey, here's some guys that are startup founders. They think like me. They build a company that exists to help me. And I want to do business with people like that rather than a nameless, faceless person that I'll never meet or see that doesn't get me. And like, and you can't calculate that. There's not a tracking code or a tag manager or a funding kit or any of that that's going to give you a number for that. So there's that's the thing I think is cool about the crowdfunding stuff is like, and I remember seeing OYO, I was like, oh wow, okay, that's a lot. Yeah. I didn't realize the number, like I didn't know where that ranked, but I don't think you see $4 million crowdfunding campaigns a lot. But like you said, hadn't even thought about that. Like there's probably product distributors that are just sitting there looking at the top 20 on that going, okay, let's call here. Exactly. And then there's probably also some people other places that are going, huh, this is probably something we should steal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, to your point, so we did this crowdfunding back in 2007. And at the time, I mean, we raised 660K, right? Like, which is, I mean, which is for crowdfunding is a lot. Like, let's not like say that that's nothing. But it was at the time, the number two most funded fitness product on Kickstarter, right? So it was something that we were like, oh my gosh, I mean, 600K. We ended up doing a total of a million between Kickstarter and Indiegogo. You know, we had this little PR hook of like, hey, number two most funded at the time. I really think that some of the success that we had then 4 years later or 3 years later was based on that early one. So I think it gave us a hook to talk about. It was earned PR. It also gave us credibility to say, we've already done this. So we can manage a $4 million campaign. We can deliver on it because we've done it 3 years ago. So like, I mean, to that point, absolutely. I mean, I think it all just stacks up, and I think that reputation matters.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how to promote. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, let's promote something. How about that? Today's episode is brought to you by Our Crowd. You can join Our Crowd's investment in Cytoreason. Cytoreason is partnered with 5 of the 10 largest pharma companies to deliver life-saving drugs at a fraction of the time and cost. Cytoreason's AI models, the human body and at the molecular level, completely changing what's possible in the $1 trillion drug development landscape. By the way, they're giving me all kinds of tough stuff to say here, so I'm trying to get through this, people. Bear with me. You can get in early on Cytoreason and other unique opportunities at ourcrowd.com/hustle. If you're interested in investing, you need to join Our Crowd. By the way, I'm just going to tell you, go check out their platform. It's really cool. It's free. You can sign up for it for free, and it's kind of cool just to look and see what other startups are doing. I'm really kind of micro obsessed with the crowdfunding thing for startups because part of me is jealous that this stuff wasn't out there. And I'm seeing all these different sites and things, and like Our Crowd's legit. So go to ourcrowd.com/hustle, link in the show notes. All right. So I've seen really good crowdfunding campaigns, and I've seen ones that made me probably look like a dog that just saw a card trick. So, you know, when it comes to promoting it, like, what are some do's and don'ts that you've learned?
Yeah. Do's and don'ts. I mean, traditionally the most money that you make in crowdfunding is the first 3 days and the last 7. And then everything in the middle is just chipping away. And so what that communicates is that starting strong is so important. And it's also so important both for reaching your goal as well as for algorithms and getting kind of free traffic. So as far as do's and don'ts, I think that one point that I'll make, the reason that people are hot in the beginning and hot at the end. Hot in the beginning, they're there for special promotions, early bird deals, super early bird deals, limited things that are either time limited or quantity limited. They want to be the first to get that thing. The reason they're doing it at the end is they're now confident that you've reached your goal and that hopefully you're gonna fulfill it. And so they want to get in on the special Kickstarter pricing as well as stretch goals and things like that you've thrown in as special perks. So it's important to understand that psychology. And so as far as do's and don'ts for promoting, I mean, I think it's understanding how are we going to start strong, right? So different things that you can consider is if you already have an existing customer base, you're communicating with them. Hey, we've got this new product. This is when it's going to come out. This is the special promotion pricing that we're going to do. If you don't have that, then I think it's considering doing some pre-campaign advertising, bringing them over to a landing page, beginning to collect an email list, things like that. There's newsletters that you can be a part of. There's a couple out there that I really like. I've worked with we work with a bunch of ad agencies that are specific to crowdfunding. And so one of them called Inventus Partners, they have a newsletter called Product Hype that I think is phenomenal. Backer Kit, I've mentioned them earlier. They do advertising in addition to campaign fulfillment. And they have a newsletter as well that I think is fantastic to be a part of. And so all of that, I want like a strong first 3 days. I do recommend people work with a crowdfunding specific advertising agency. I have done head to head against our normal agency and the crowdfunding agency, and the crowdfunding agencies destroy even the best digital marketing firm. And the reason they destroy them is because they have amazing lookalike audiences. And there's statistics that once you back one crowdfunding campaign, you're going to back another. And so these people just they're taking it and they're just getting in front of ones I've worked with. I've worked with BackerKit. I've worked with Inventus Partners. I've worked with BackerCamp. Those are kind of my go-to. I'll give all of them free publicity and shout outs because they're just
great. Sure. We're revealing crowdfunding secrets, Graham. Don't hold back. Come on.
That's right. Give it away.
No, I think that's good because, like, you know, here's the thing is it's a big world, man. I mean, first off, it's a big world. There's 7.5 billion people on this planet doing 7.5 billion things right now. Right. And, you know, some of the things that, well, really the mission statement of Startup Hustle in this podcast is to try to give people good, real, candid, sometimes not fucked up. That's right. That's how raw it can be advice. And, you know, but that's the truth. And that's the thing. And, you know, speaking of which, if you want some good advice about what we're doing, go check out our YouTube channel that we launched earlier this year. We got thousands of people subscribed to it already. Today's episode is about how owning a business affects your mental health. We say the word fuck a little bit in that one too.
That's there's really no way to. That's a whole other topic. I'd love to talk about
mental health or how owning a business teaches you how many different ways you can use the F word in a sentence.
Both. I think they're actually related.
They're kind of interwoven. That's why I'm really warming people up for that episode. If they go to check it out, there's a link for that in the show notes too. So anyway, and by the way, the person who swears the most in Startup Hustle TV is Lauren Conaway, the founder of Innovate Her KC and also a host of a Startup Hustle episode every Thursday. You just wouldn't expect that it would be Lauren. Everyone thinks it would be me because I do curse like a sailor. Anyway, so I have a couple tips, the things that I think are just kind of general things. Like, I'm going to state the obvious, so go ahead and sit down, people. But if you put a video in any of your promo, like a video will show things on a completely different level. And I think that people often, you want to have a pro video, but at the same time, like, the world of content and video creation has dumbed itself down to, like, the prosumer is everywhere. Like, I look at all the ads and the different stuff that I see on YouTube, and half the time it's like clearly some guy out in his yard holding a video. It might even be me doing that. Right. But you can have it, like, people want to see the real part of you. They don't they don't want the robot voiceover guy that's like, yeah, this is the greatest thing. They want to see you and talk about you and why you built what you built, who you built it for, the problem you're solving, and why you're different. And you might find that, like, a really just kind of granular, low-key video like that might do wonders. Because if you can humanize yourself to people buying and people identify with you, and especially if your product solves like something that gives people peace of mind or solves a problem that annoys large masses, and just talk about it and why they should support you. And you might find that you get a really, really good response from that kind of stuff. You don't have to bring in the Hollywood people and build a film set and do all that other stuff. Like, I mean, I think if you're going to show a video of your product, you might want to, you know, be professional with it, but you can put another video in there. Like I said, like, I grab my GoPro, I grab my phone, I do videos all the time. That's actually how we film Startup Hustle TV, with a shitload of GoPros, and it comes out, it looks great. It's like 5K. So it does just fine. But there's, you know, you are walking around with a recording studio and a film studio and a worldwide encyclopedia in your pocket right now. Use it.
Well, and to that point, like, okay, when we talk about investing in companies, right? What are we saying? We are investing not only in an idea, right? We're also investing in the team. We're investing in the people, right? Because we know that companies are going to iterate. We know that they're going to change, right? And so I'm looking at the team and I'm saying, do I believe that this team has the capability to launch that? It's the exact same thing for Kickstarter, right? And so to your point, to put the founders, to put the team in front of it, and to make it a something more like a UGC, or make it something that is a behind the scenes, that is a little bit rough, that is a little bit hard to engage with. Like, I mean, again, what is the crowdfunding? What is the crowdfunding channel? It's all about early adopters. So they want to see. They want to see it rough, right? You can't have it so rough that people don't want it, but they want to relate. They want to connect. And I think that's one of the reasons that. That Oyo was so successful, frankly, is that we had this beautiful inventor story of Paul inventing this technology and then licensing it to NASA, licensing it to Bowflex. I mean, that story matters, right? And to your point, it doesn't have to be super sexy. It can be more off the cuff, more raw. That's personal.
I have another little bit of advice here as well, because, you know, obviously social media can really be helpful. We talked about lookalike audiences and stuff like that. And sometimes that's a little too complex for people that are still getting started. I think one of the big mistakes that too many people try to make is they try to you don't make the sale during the ad impression on Facebook. It's not how that works. So people try to put 10,000 words on a 1080 by 1080 image. And really, the only job of your ad is to get a click. If the ad gets a click, the ad did its job. It's your job to have a landing page or an experience on the other side of that click that doesn't suck. Because I talk to people a lot over this last 15 years. And, you know, they're like, well, I'm like, what kind of promotion are you doing at your business? Well, we tried CPC, cost per click, advertising, but it didn't work. And I'll ask them, I'll say, well, did people click your ads? Yeah, but no one bought anything. It's not the ad's fault. That's your fault. That's right. It really is. The ad's job is to get the click. So put something on there. And, you know, so this podcast has ranked as high as number 15 for entrepreneurship podcasts on Apple. Like all of Apple. Want to know how we did that, Graham? We had an image that said a podcast for entrepreneurs and the Startup Hustle logo. That was it. That was the whole freaking ad. Nothing more, nothing less. And then you clicked it and you ended up where you ended up at wherever you listen to the podcast to podcasts. But that's all it takes. The ad did its job. It got the clicks. It drove the people that later subscribed. Hopefully you're still listening. And if you are, thank you. But that is without a doubt, I think the mistake I see newbies make a lot with their advertising. They're trying to put like, here's the 10 different reasons why you should buy this. And then here's 10 more reasons why we're better. And then you know what? Here's 10 other things too. And then it's just like too long, didn't read. No one cared.
Well, and to that point, I mean, I love you saying that. To that point, I then think about what's the next step. So they're then clicking on the ad, and we're talking crowdfunding. So they're landing on a Kickstarter page. So let's talk about what makes a good Kickstarter page, because that's where your storytelling is happening, right? And so what do I do to that point? I know they've clicked on an ad, and that ad is hopefully at least in our situation, was a video ad. So they had a little bit of an understanding of what it did. They land on the Kickstarter page. At the very top, you've got the Kickstarter video. Hopefully that tells the story. But then when I get into the actual page, what am I wanting to do? I basically want to slowly give them incremental information so that they can see if it's a good fit for them, right? So at the very top of the ad, to your point, I have, what are the highlights? What does this solve?
State the problem. What's the problem you're solving?
Yeah.
Are you tired of broken stuff?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, that's it. I am. You know what? I'm so tired of broken stuff. Tell me more.
Yeah.
But that's, you got it. It's, you know, in news, they say if it bleeds, it leads. My book editor tells me, he's like, and Patrick, thank you for beating this into my head. you know, you got to lead with the need. Mm. And, you know, there's a reason that these sayings exist. And that's the problem. You know, it's like, are you having a hard time finding software developers? As a matter of fact, I am. And then, so what's more, or, you know, or they can also be things like, you know, like that hero statement is so important and keep someone's attention. People want to put that shit at the bottom. And I'm like, why? Like, get it up top, like grab my attention. Cause if not, probably just going to scroll by, or I'm going to go or too long, didn't read. All right. So we're going to talk. I want to talk some about the actual, like during the process of the campaign. But before we do that, I once again want to give a big thanks to Our Crowd for helping us bring you today's episode. Our Crowd's kind of like crowdfunding for startups. So go check them out. With Our Crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and early. You can get a free account at ourcrowd.com/hustle. Go check it out, people. I think that's very topical. So, all right, let's talk about the actual campaign. I know we talked about some of it, like, you know, all right, so we know we want to get off to a good start. We know we want to create some digital assets, meaning pictures, videos, posts. We want to, in my notes, it says, prepare your face off. So yeah, that's good advice. But you know, now the campaign started, what is that like? How does that work? I mean, you know, obviously you launch it and people are going to start buying stuff or they don't, you know, I mean, what's the campaign process like? I feel like it's gotta be kind of excruciating because some of them are pretty long.
Oh, it's brutal. It's I describe it as a sprint and a marathon all at once. And you're like running the 800 meter. Everyone talks about the 800 meter being the worst race, because it's a full out sprint for two laps, right? And that'd be terrible. It's horrible. Yeah, it's like, what are we doing here? I try to prepare people emotionally. And first couple of days, hopefully, if you've done your job, I mean, they're crazy. The first day of the OYO campaign, I literally sat on my porch for 12 hours answering comments, answering messages for 12 hours. We launched at 9 a.m. I think that I got up and did, I went to the restroom. I probably got a 30 minute lunch. And I think I closed my computer at 9 p.m. And I just was answering questions. And then the next day was less. We then build out a wiki, you know, common answers, you know, but like, you know, you're propping up a customer service team in the first couple of days of the campaign to then hopefully automate stuff, especially with the campaign as large as the Nova Gym. So that's the first part of it. I think that you are having to be really reactionary. Figuring out, you know, you're having to be reactionary in all the different parts of businesses, right? You're having to be reactionary with customer service and issues that happen there, questions that people have, mistakes that you made, you know, or people pushing back on shipping costs. Like during the Nova Gym campaign, I propped up a warehouse in the UK during that campaign, and I had to get pricing. We had to find the person. Because we were planning on just fulfilling from Taiwan, where we manufacture, in the US. And then we realized our shipping, because we didn't have a UK warehouse or a Europe warehouse, that our shipping was too high to Europe. But we had such a big campaign, we wanted to service them. So in the middle of the campaign, I'm building out operations to get pricing in place so that we can then market to those people. You're having to look at what products are selling well. What new promotions do you want to do? You know, like it. I mean, I feel like crowdfunding, for especially for a big campaign, it teaches you all the fundamentals of business in like 50 days, and you're just along for the ride. And then on the flip side of it is you potentially also have a lull where if you started out strong and then suddenly your sales are tinkering away. We talk about mental health. You know, you're there going. It feels like the sky's falling. You know, it feels like this isn't going to work, and then invariably the last 7 to 10 days things pick back up again. The whole thing is a freaking rush. So I always
tell people, and this isn't necessarily crowdfunding, but you know, I've released three books. I launched multiple businesses that have done a lot of different things. And it's funny because anytime the people that know me or work with me or are married to me hear launch day, they just know that's what I'm doing that day, you know? And it's funny because people are like, well, shouldn't it be set up? I'm like, yeah, in theory, you've thought most of it out. And then reality comes and you get to, you know, you don't, like you said, it's like comments or just staying active and doing stuff and making, so you make a post on Facebook. They're like, oh, you shouldn't you have that ready? Yeah, I had it ready ahead of time, but then there's 47 comments and then they're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, God knows what else. Like, you know, I mean, they're everywhere and you're answering questions and some things are going well and some things are not. And then you thought that this ad would be out on time and Facebook is slow as hell at approving. I have that happen all the time. And then they throttle you. Sometimes they don't like what you're saying or selling or like, there's some weird algorithmic trigger. Like, for example, when we launched Startup Hustle TV, our first episodes, for whatever reason, the AI kept saying that we were possibly violating some rule involving election ads in India. I'm like, how the fuck did you arrive at that conclusion from Startup Hustle TV?
Yep.
You know, but
yep.
The AI is the AI, and it will throttle you. And next thing you know, your ads are coming out 12 hours later. So there's just weird shit that you can't predict. Yeah. You often hope doesn't happen. Then sometimes things go real well too, and you want to try to spend some gold out of that. So yeah, I think if you're going to launch anything, yes, whether it's crowdfunding, a book or anything, you need to just be, you need to know that your organizational bandwidth should really be focal on that for the first 2 to 3 days at a minimum.
100%. And I would really say, I think that crowdfunding is, we are so quick as culture. And I would say crowdfunding is faster. Like, people expect, because it's termed, there's something about it, they expect immediate responses. And if they don't get a response, they will freaking write you back every single day. It's like, whoa, it's the weekend. There are no weekends in crowdfunding. You're just hustling the whole time, trying to stay on top of everything.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a lot to keep up with. So, all right. So I end my episodes of Startup Hustle with what we call the Founders Freestyle. And why do I say my episodes? Because I'm not the only host of the show. Make sure you tune in on Tuesdays. Join Andrew Morgans from Marknology. He talks all about Amazon and e-commerce. Tune in on Thursdays to listen to the champion of swearing on Startup Hustle TV, Lauren Conaway, the founder of Innovate Her KC, and an amazing person. She deserves to swear as much as she wants. If you hadn't had enough Startup Hustle at that point, did you hear we started our own TV show? The best advice I can give you, Graham, is don't start your own TV show. It's a lot of work. But that said, we did, and it comes out a couple times a week. Much like this podcast, we're giving you a video version. We have a lot of different hosts, and we will introduce more down the road. So make sure go to YouTube, type in Startup Hustle. You'll find us. It's not that hard. All right. So in the Founders Freestyle, I like to, on a founder to founder level, give the best advice that we can come up with based on today's episode. So what do you got?
Oh man, the best advice. Oh man, I think it, what do you say? Plan your face off. I think it's plan your face off 100%. And then it reminds me, I think it's Mike Tyson who says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That is the 180th time that's been said on this show, at least. Like we literally love quoting Mike Tyson and that specifically. It's actually the only Mike Tyson quote we use, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, but I think it's those two. I mean, it's like you prepare, but part of your preparation is knowing you're going to have to iterate so fast when it gets going. And that's some of my best advice. So.
Yeah. Well, I can't take credit. That's our amazing research team. So we actually have a very large creative department. I've got 200 employees, 15 of them are around creative, that we publish a daily blog article at the fullscale.io website. But, you know, even with the largest teams, it's sometimes a lot to coordinate. And I think that the prepare your face off, which they gave me that. So thanks, guys and gals. But, you know, like, look, you can't have enough stuff, like, in my opinion. Like, you know, our creative team will say, hey, I need some launch day images. They're like, what do you have in mind? I'm like, I don't know. Make me 40. And I'll tell you the 10 that I like the most, or I'll just pick them. And so we started doing things like, we actually have a folder in Google Drive that is just our promo grab bag. So, you know, we are our designers and people, like, when they have free moments or time, or if they just feel inspired, we'll make things for Startup Hustle, for Full Scale, for like all the stuff we do. And I constantly have ammo. Like, I have not even come close to getting to using 50%. Of the stuff that's in there. So some, you know, and here's the thing is, you know, it's not going to hurt you to have it. You know, think out your messaging.
Yeah. We did a photo shoot halfway through the campaign. We were running so many ads. Our ad agencies, we were in three different ad agencies, and they were like, do you have more content? And we gave them,
that's my point,
so much content in the beginning. Yep. We gave them so much content, and they still needed more. I mean, it was wild. Yeah.
The internet has an insatiable appetite for that stuff. And that's my point. Like, don't come into it with three images and you're like, yeah, we're good. Cause that shit gets stale. Like, people seen it. Like, show people different looks, different angles, all of it. And, you know, overall, I mean, I think the main thing here that I don't want to leave unmentioned is, if your expectation is that you're not going to spend money promoting your promotion, go back and review what the word promotion really means. Cause, you know, look, there's every now and then things go viral and sure, you'll hear about them. What you don't hear about is the 99.9% of stuff that didn't when people hoped it would. And you'll get buried on these sites. There's just so many products, there's so many things, and the world has an unlimited amount of stuff to pay attention to that isn't you. So you gotta have something, you gotta have new stuff, and you gotta pay to promote it. You can get whatever, just about whatever you want in front of people if you're willing to pay for it. So be prepared for that and don't be cheap about it. So, you know, like the idea that you're gonna spend 3% or something like that. I mean, it's cute to think that, but you won't. Or you will on a probably unsuccessful campaign. Graham, thanks again for joining me. Thanks again for Our Crowd. Check them out. Crowdfunding for startups. I think that's pretty cool. I'll see you down the road, my friend.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.